following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and today on Crane's Daily Gist, Chicago Fed President Charles Evans doesn't see the need for another rate cut. We'll talk about that and other stories coming up in the podcast. But first, the prestigious 2020 Michelin stars were unveiled earlier this morning, and 25 Chicago restaurants earned a coveted star in the 10th edition of the Local Guide. And that's an increase from last year's total of 22, with five new restaurants earning one-star status. Soon after the announcement, I spoke with Crane's reporter Dalton Barker. Here's our conversation. Well, Michelin Day is always an exciting one in the restaurant world, around the world, you know, everywhere. So happy Michelin Day. What is new today? What's the latest, and who's getting those stars?
Yeah, the latest is the old guard is still the old guard. You have Alinea remaining as a 3-star. The 2 stars are all the exact same as last year with Acadia, Oriole, and Smith. We did get some new 1 stars this year, though, and we're up year over year in terms of the overall number. We were 25 this year. We were 22 the year before. Kind of the big new additions are a handful of new restaurants in the West Loop, kind of led by the Alinea Group's Next. And there's also several new Asian-style restaurants here in the West Loop that I think it shows you the versatility of the culinary scene here in Chicago, where we have, you know, very cutting edge restaurants like Alinea and Oriole. And then we also have restaurants like Banda Bohemia up in Andersonville that, you know, really are kind of known for their, you know, more bohemian Czech style food and alcoholic drinks. So I think that this reinforces again that Chicago is just a very unique dining space, and it has a wide different range of prices and options and culinary trends. So I think that's really what's been highlighted this year.
And then also, we don't talk too much. We talk about the coveted star and stars, plural, but not too much about a demotion in stars, which doesn't seem to happen too often. But nonetheless, that did occur this year.
It did. 2 restaurants, actually, one of the Alinea Group's, Royster and Dusex, were actually demoted from their position down. How that worked is I spoke with the chief inspector of North America's Michelin Guide, and basically what they said is that if they're consistently reviewed all these different restaurants throughout the year, and if an inspector has an issue, what they do is they bring in another inspector to go in. If that inspector also has an issue, they bring both inspectors together and they discuss it. And if it's warranted a demotion, then that's decided. So it is a very complex process. It's a process that, you know, just because one, you know, you had one bad experience, or the food wasn't as great as it normally is, that doesn't necessarily get you demoted. It's a process, just the same with actually getting an increased star. It kind of works in a similar way.
Yeah, well, that's got to be kind of a heartbreak for those 2 spots, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen different documentaries over the years, and people go to just extreme lengths trying to just even get a single star, much less a 2 or 3 star. So you're just looking at the absolute elite of the elite restaurants here in Chicago and just in North America in general.
Yeah. And okay, so this year it's 25 Chicago restaurants got a Michelin star. Mm-hmm. That's up from 22 last year. And I'm not surprised by that, right? It seems like we do have wonderful restaurants here. I mean, I've challenged many people in New York, like, you know what? I would hold our restaurants against yours any day. Mm-hmm. And I think ours are so easy to find. I feel like in New York, sometimes you have to kind of work to get to them and figure out what's going on. And here it seems like our food scene is more accessible. That's my perception of it anyway. It seems that way.
Sure. Well, I think that's also shown in just the number of 1 stars. You know how we have, there's so many different 1 stars. You know, you have neighborhoods like Andersonville, Lincoln Park, Pilsen, Lakeview, Bucktown, Humboldt Park, Gold Coast, River North. I mean, there's restaurants all throughout the city. They're accessible at different price points, but a lot of those are, you know, pretty affordable meals. Obviously, once you start moving into the 2 and 3 stars, those are very special occasions. But I would say I would agree with you. You know, you're seeing a wide different mix of restaurants. Obviously, a lot of those are in the West Loop Fulton Market area, but you're starting to see more and more kind of trendy restaurants like Parachute, Giant, Fat Rice, which those last two weren't on the list, but they have been recognized with the James Beard's Awards, and they're kind of up in that Logan Square, Humboldt Park area. So I think wherever you're at in the city, you're able to get just fantastic food here in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, I want to look more at the increase in the number of one-starred Asian restaurants. Mm-hmm. You know, as you pointed out, that's kind of hinting at, you know, a new era, a more, you know, diverse makeup of the different mm-hmm. types of restaurants. What sets these particular restaurants apart in their cuisine that you believe earned them that star?
You know, I think a lot of it is just the overall skill. I know that's a big thing for Michelin Guide, is kind of the skill and the expression of the chef's personality in the dishes. Obviously, there's a lot of different restaurants and they're serving, you know, maybe slightly similar dishes. But I think the uniqueness, the creativity, and that's really led by the chef in many instances. It's the chef's personality that has to shine through. And I know that that's what Michelin's really looking out for. I think it just shows you again that just with these new Asian restaurants here in town in the West Loop, it shows you that the wide breadth of selection we have here in Chicago is that we're not just a, you know, a steak and seafood type restaurant. We're not just the Alinea's, this really cutting edge type places. You know, we have different types and they're in different neighborhoods and they're at different price points. So you're kind of getting the best of all worlds here in Chicago. Some of these are you know, kind of newer spots. I know that Yugen is led by an all-female staff, and that's led by executive chef Mari Katsumura. I think what a lot of these restaurants are doing is they're just really highlighting just very high-end sashimi, house-made tofu, seared mackerel, just different kind of takes on maybe traditional Japanese dishes, modernizing them to, you know, 2019. I think that's really been a big wave that's happened here in Chicago, and we have so many really great restaurants in Chinatown. And so now you have a lot of these in West Loop. So if you're heading to Fulton Market or just the West Loop in general, you're just able now to just get such a wide range of different of selections from really high-end steak places to fine dining to these new Asian restaurants. So it's really, it speaks to how successful Fulton Market has been. And people kind of forget is that Fulton Market has really only been around in this kind of era for the last little over 10 years. You know, the Girl and the Goat opened around 10 years ago. So it's not like this is a, you know, a traditional area that's always been super successful. It's really been just steadily building over the last 10 years. And now when you look at the list, it's just overwhelmingly dominated by restaurants in that West Loop area.
So interesting to watch the West Loop from a culinary perspective and mm-hmm. a real estate development perspective, because I think those two overlap so much. You know, you have to, if you've got a bunch of people in a place, they got to eat. And if they're spending money and investing in a neighborhood, the things they're eating are going to be increasingly better. So it's not surprising, but it is just kind of interesting to just watch as a case study, watching this neighborhood unfold.
It reinforces it. I think the Michelin, just like once again, the five new restaurants are on the list. They're all in the West Loop. I think that says enough. We have five new restaurants. They're all in the West Loop, and it shows you that that area is not only reinforced as being the prime top culinary area in the city, it's also even getting better and better as the years go on.
What surprised you about the Michelin process this year or in talking with the Michelin team?
I think that was kind of interesting is that the 3 and 2 stars did not change year over year. I was a little surprised at that. I just expected, you know, I think you're always going to get a little bit of changes on the 1 stars, you know, some coming in, some going up, but there was no 1 stars that jumped into the 2 stars. There was no 2 stars that jumped into the 3 stars. So after having Alinea and Grace before Grace closed a couple of years back, you know, we had multiple 3-star selections. And now, you know, obviously Alinea has been known for years as the top restaurant in Chicago, but I was a little surprised that we didn't see more movement throughout the hierarchy of Michelin stars.
That's a really interesting point. What do you attribute that to?
That's a good question. I think a big reason is just how competitive the restaurant space is right now. When it comes to, you know, when Alinea kind of hit the scene, you know, they were doing something so radically different at the time. And I just think overall restaurant trends and restaurant, you know, the quality of restaurants in general has seemingly gotten unbelievably better in the last 10 years, not only in Chicago, but other cities, other mid-sized cities. Just the competition has ramped up. And I think that when you look at kind of hitting that 2-star, hitting that 3-star, you really, really have to be exceptional. And you need to also have a chef, like I said before, that can really express their vision on the plate of what they're doing. And it's unique and you really can't find it anywhere else. And that's really what a 3-star restaurant should be. It's a restaurant that you really should not be able to find in too many other places.
That's a very good point. As noted in your story at ChicagoBusiness.com, there's a wonderful quote that I really enjoy from the chief Michelin inspector who asked to remain anonymous. And that person said, "There is an energy and creativity that is very particular to Chicago." I think that's so wonderful and so very true. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I think that that's really probably what sets Chicago apart. Obviously, New York has substantially more Michelin stars, but it's obviously substantially larger than Chicago. But I think what makes Chicago stand out is we have this unbelievably diverse culinary scene. You can get so many different, and there's restaurants that weren't even on this list that are exceptional restaurants. And you can just get so many different types of cuisine here at so many different price points. And like I said before, in so many different neighborhoods. And I think that should be a point of pride for the Chicago culinary scene.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Coming up, an update on how O'Hare's $8.5 billion makeover is coming along. We'll talk about that and other stories right after this word from our sponsor. At Wintrust, there's no one-size-fits-all solution because there's no one-size-fits-all business. They come in different sizes, in different industries, and with different needs. You won't get cookie-cutter services based on your size. Wintrust provides personalized focus no matter what kind of business you run. Whether you're looking for deposit accounts, lending options, or treasury management solutions, Wintrust bankers are prepared to meet your business where you are and help you get to where you want to be. Find out more at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Looking to today's stories, one of the Federal Reserve's policymakers doesn't see the need to cut interest rates again because two recent reductions should be enough to fill inflation above the central bank's 2% target. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans said yesterday in Lake Forest that he was able to generate a bit of overshooting for the inflation objective over the forecast horizon with, quote, simply the cuts that we agreed to, and so I did not have another rate cut in there, he said, adding that he sees price pressures reaching 2.2%. Evans, a voter this year on the rate-setting Federal Open Market Committee, backed its rate cuts in July and again this month. The easing follows 3 years of tightening between 2015 and 2018 as officials reversed course in the face of slowing global growth, trade policy uncertainty, and muted inflation. Evans said the U.S. economy is still strong and the outlook positive thanks to solid consumer spending, but he added that business investment has been weak and several international risks, including Brexit negotiations in the UK and a slowing Chinese economy, are tempering enthusiasm in financial markets. Chicago-based health tech incubator Matter is opening an innovation center in New York. In collaboration with the New York City Economic Development Corporation and healthcare investment firm Deerfield Management, Matter will connect startups with life sciences companies, healthcare providers, academic research centers, and other organizations. Matter's CEO said in a statement that the expansion will create East Coast opportunities for Chicago-based companies and help New York companies enter the Midwest. Matter was selected to anchor the New York Innovation Center by the city's Economic Development Corp based on its success in Chicago. Set in the merchandise mart, Matter launched in 2015 with just 30 startup companies. It now includes more than 200 healthcare-related startups globally, ranging from those in the early stages to those with millions of dollars in revenue, as well as more than 60 corporate partners. The incubator says members have collectively raised more than $1 billion in healthcare investment and created nearly 4,000 jobs to date. So a West Loop startup has accomplished a remarkable feat for the sluggish beer industry, and that is triple-digit growth. Sales of White Claw Hard Seltzer surged to over $100 million during the first 6 months of 2019, up nearly 300% over the same period in 2018, according to Nielsen market data. That's 100 times the growth rate for total beer sales during the first half. And now White Claw has to defend its lead in hard seltzers against big beer. Chicago-based Miller Coors and Budweiser parent Anheuser-Busch InBev are rolling out their own seltzers backed by massive marketing budgets and plenty of clout with distributors, retailers, and taverns. The looming seltzer showdown will test an innovator's ability to hold its ground after pioneering a new market. It's a pivotal moment for White Claw, which is run by the marketers of Mike's Hard Lemonade, a unit of Vancouver, British Columbia-based Mark Anthony Group. Mike's Hard Lemonade president oversees White Claw from offices on Jefferson Street in the West Loop. White Claw has faced little competition since its 2016 debut, capturing a market-leading 50% of seltzer sales in 2019, well ahead of Boston Beer's Truly at 30%. For reference, with less than 100 calories, no sugar, and few carbs, hard seltzer is fermented with gluten-free grains, which yields a colorless product with the same alcohol content as the average light beer. In one final story for today, the city's $8.5 billion makeover of terminals at O'Hare is well underway, but a surprise or two may happen as Mayor Lightfoot begins to put her stamp on the expansion and modernization of the airport's aging passenger facilities. In an interview late yesterday, Chicago Aviation Commissioner Jamie Reed described a possible new approach to how food concessions are awarded at O'Hare, starting with work in Terminal 5. The commissioner also laid out a detailed timetable for what will come online when. For instance, work on the final new runway begins next month. She said O'Hare Global terminal designer Jeannie Gang will soon hit the road to get input on her plan from neighborhood residents. And though she didn't say so, she gave every indication that Elon Musk's proposed superfast train tube between the Loop and O'Hare likely died when its chief proponent, former Mayor Emanuel, left office. Ree spoke with Greg Hines and John Pletz from Crane's Chicago Business, and you can read all about their conversation at chicagobusiness.com. But overall, Ree said that the initial work on the $8.5 billion plan is, quote, moving along amazingly well. Ree said that for starters, construction is scheduled to begin within 2 weeks on the last of the new runways envisioned as part of the overall O'Hare revamp. That extension is a $340 million job due to be completed in 2021. The final full new runway is due to open in the second half of next year, and Ree said that even without those runways, O'Hare has been able to cut flight delays 63% since runway work began a decade ago. Ree added that when the last two are done, the airport will have a much more efficient structure of two sets of parallel runways at its center, with a single runway at its north and south ends. Until next week, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thanks so much to producer Haima Black, as well as to today's guest, Dalton Barker. Find business news, analysis, data, and so much more at chicagobusiness.com. Let's continue the conversation with hashtag Crane's Daily Gist, or find me, Amy Guth, on Twitter, and tweet me about the business stories most on your mind. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you right back here next week.